All right, now welcome to another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. I am your host, Shelton Williams. We have a special guest on the podcast today, my brother-in-law, William DJ Davis. All right, say hello to the people.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Awesome, man. I'm so happy that you're on for today. Now, you are a cop and you are a black man. And both of these identities are being attacked right now, okay? And we have some people who hate cops, and we got a lot of people that don't like black people, okay? And you're pretty much hated in the uniform and outside of the uniform, all right? Can you talk about that? How does it feel being a black cop in this environment?
Yeah, well, you are absolutely right. I'm black and a cop, so pretty much everybody hates me. So it's actually honestly, it's not as bad as I thought it would be starting out, because I mean, being a cop wasn't even something that I wanted to do, but really I needed a job after college, and then I noticed that the only people hiring, at least for my major, because I majored in criminal justice, so pretty much the only people hiring were cops, police department. So I signed up, and honestly, I love it. It's great.
Okay, so you like it. Have you gotten any kind of, let's say, backlash from it? From, like, let's say, black people, we have strong opinions. And do black people ever, like, treat you differently because you are a cop? Okay, once you have that uniform on, do you have that experience?
Yeah, no, really, I'd say that that's pretty 50-50, especially where I'm at. I've run into people who see me and they get super excited because they're like, oh, cool, a black cop, that's awesome. But then, I mean, I've gotten a whole lot of the opposite, where people, I've been called a sellout, Uncle Tom, coon, traitor. I've been told I'm a disgrace to my race. The list goes on and on and on for things that people have called me because I'm a black cop.
So let me kind of dive deeper into that just a little bit here. Do you, and I think you probably understand this, but like the history behind, like, black people and their, like, distrust for the police. Do you kind of, like, understand that and recognize that, like, over the years, like, in America in general, like, there's been in history, like, police officers weren't really, didn't treat the black people so kindly, okay, in historical context of it. So do you kind of, like, understand that, in a way, why black people kind of distrust the police?
No, I mean, absolutely. I think it's ridiculous to try and say that that's not the case. I mean, it's our history. It's a part of American history. It's a huge part of it. And policing with minorities has not always been good. It hasn't been trustworthy. And I will say that, today I think we're moving in the right direction. We're getting better, but yeah, I definitely understand the history behind it. I mean, it's been awful,
I gotcha. So in this kind of climate that we're in, right, we have, especially, I think that we heard more about these type of cases when Obama was the president of the United States at the time. We heard a lot of, about cops who were shooting black men unarmed. Right now, I think that I would love to hear your kind of take on that as a black person who's also a police officer as well. Like, what is your take, in these particular cases? I know, like, all of these cases are different, right? So you can't, it's almost like it's hard to like, put such a broad brush on all of the cases,
and it's a touchy subject. Because I remember when all this started, for the most part, the most recent one I remember starting all of this really was a Trayvon Martin shooting. And after that, at least to me, it just seemed like more and more we were hearing a lot more about it. obviously you and I, you know, we grew up in super conservative circles, and, you know, the circles that we grow up in typically are like, hey, cops, you know, they didn't do anything wrong in any of these shootings, you know, or my biggest pet peeve is when a shooting like this happens and someone's immediate response is, oh, well, that person was a thug or whatever. And I'm like,
okay. Yeah,
just because somebody, you know, I'm like, look, I don't care if that person is a thug. I don't know them. They, you know, I don't know if they are or not, but even if they are, that doesn't mean that they have the right to be just shot for no reason. You see what I'm saying? So,
right. Yeah.
Say that as if that's an excuse, because it's not. Second biggest pet peeve is with any shooting when there's no body cam. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We live in, you need to have that, and it's something that protects us as cops and keeps us online, honestly. I mean, body cam today, it's pretty much like DNA evidence in a court case. If you don't have DNA, then nobody really cares. But, you know, same with body
cam.
Yeah. Have to have that. I'm actually doing an independent study just for my own, you know, knowledge and growth, because I wanted to know for myself, like, hey, do I think cops are targeting unarmed black people specifically, or, like, you know, what's the deal with it? You know what I mean? And what I'm finding is pretty interesting, actually.
What are you finding out? Like, what are some things that you've been doing in your independent study? Like, what are you learning so far? Can you teach my podcast listeners?
Absolutely. Okay. So basically, I'm trying to find different databases that keep track of police shooting. Okay, and one that I found that's like the easiest to navigate is from the Washington Post. They actually have a database from 2018 and 2017. I haven't found one from, you know, any years prior to 17, but I'm still looking. And basically, right. You know, it has the total amount of people killed in police shootings in that year. And then you can go in and ask for specifics, like, okay, how many white people got shot by cops? How many black people got shot by cops? How many people had mental illness when they got shot by cops? You know, how many people had a weapon? All sorts of things like that. So I went into this database, and I'm like, all right, how many unarmed black people were shot in 2018? And the number that the Washington Post gave was 18. And they give you the names of all the people, what city
they were,
you know, all sorts of stuff, right? And so, I did the same thing. I'm like, all right, that's a high number. I was like, do white people get shot by
Yeah.
Arm white,
right?
Because you don't ever hear about it.
Yeah.
So I typed one number, and 23 was the number that they gave for 2018.
And right.
Give you all the names and the cities that they were in and the scenarios. And so what I'm trying to do right now is just go and take each name one by one, look up the case, and see, okay, what was the condition in which they were shot. I mean, you know, to me, it's important to ask, why were the cops interacting with this person in the first place? Because, you know, if black people are being targeted, you know, then that should reflect, like, okay, are the police being called on these people because of something that they're doing, or are they just driving around and they're like, hey, there's a black person over there, let's go stop them and just, you know, ruin his day kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that you're asking some really good questions. I think there are going to be some questions that people are going to ask, right, while you're doing this, like, you know, the study, and they're going to ask questions like, okay, black, you know, in your study so far, you said 18 black people got, you know, shot and killed that were unarmed, white in the same situations, white people were killed 23 times, or I forget the exact number you just mentioned, but then think about this then too then, in the grand scheme of things, right, there are how much more, like, way more, you know, white people in America, right, than black
right.
people, right? So then
right.
they would sit back and tell you, like, well, you know, based on the numbers, the amount of black people that got shot is a higher percentage, right, than
right.
the white people that got shot, right? So the numbers wise, of course, white people have more, but the percentage wise of it, you know, that got killed and shot or whatever, they'll be like, okay, you know, what's the case? And then people are gonna ask some questions like, okay, it may not be, because I don't think that, you know, and maybe they are, and there might be someone, and I may be very naive and I'm too hopeful, but I don't think that, you know, that there are a ton of police that are like, oh, I'm gonna try to kill black people today, right? Like, I don't think that, okay? And I may be naive. There might be a policeman out there that's what they're trying to do, but I just don't believe that a vast majority of police think that way. However, I do think, though, that there are some like internal biases that we all have. And I think that if not checked, you know, you get into a situation and you're like, oh, well, you know, and this happens all the way around, not just with police interaction with black people, but teachers interaction with black people, to where a white kid can commit the same type of, you know, issue in the classroom, and you know, he just, you know, gets a slap on the wrist. A black kid does it, we're gonna Baker Act you, we're done with you, boom 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 boom, right? So, well, Baker Act, and I'm sorry, for some people in different states, you know, we're calling the resource officer, we're getting you arrested, you're getting you out the school. So I just find it interesting that I think that sometimes it may not be like someone being malicious, so saying we're going to drive around and get black people. But I think that, and it's not just with police, I think this is all like different authority figures, we may all have internal biases that we just don't see the other individual as a person. We see them as, oh man, I don't know, an individual, like, oh man, you are some thug, right? We maybe use that terminology, or we use the terminology to say, hey, this is a bad kid, right? So we just kind of view people badly. And I think that might be another issue, what happened to, you know, and Trayvon Martin, or just different situations to where we have an internal bias to say, no, we don't think this is a good kid. Why? And you think, well, it just doesn't look the part, doesn't look like a good kid. Well, then what does a good kid look like? Or what does a good, you know, person look like? So I think that might be more of it, because I think that when you do the study, you'll find out like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like, you probably could have handled this situation a little bit differently, I think is what you're going to find in the research. But I think that it just comes to, if you know, all of us having internal biases. But what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree with that to an extent, because all of us do have some type of bias. I mean, we just do. I mean, you go to church and you see a homeless dude sitting outside, right outside the front doors. I mean, do you invite him in, or do you look at him kind of like, oh, there's a homeless dude right there? You know, that's the internal bias that we have, just how our society is. And so, like, with the police shootings, you know, because I totally understand, you're right. You know, there are way more white people than black people in America. So granted, the numbers are always going to be higher for white people. So that's why mainly what I'm looking at as well is just, okay, why were the cops interacting with this person? You know, because for instance, I mean, if I arrest somebody, in my report, I got to list why I stopped them in the first place, what caused me to go there. You know what I mean? Half the time it's like, oh, well, you know, I got dispatched to this house because of a domestic altercation. That's why I was there. You know, and this person was, you know, they dispatch told me that this person was the problem half, the guy. You know, so that's why I talked to him. And in a lot of these, like, for I've only looked at three so far because it's super time consuming, but it's really enlightening. I really like doing it. Like, I looked at Alton Sterling, okay, because that was a really big, you know. And my question was, all right, well, why were the cops over there in the first place? And you know, they got a call from dispatch. Some dude called saying, hey, you know, there's a black guy selling CDs out in front of this store wearing a red shirt. He pulled a gun out on me, you know, and he's still here. So that's the call that they're given. That's the information that they're given. That's what they got to work with. I know I've gone to calls like that, and whenever we get calls like that, all we're thinking is, dude, I sure hope this dude's not there, because what I don't want to run into, I don't want to deal with someone with a gun right now that's pointing it at people allegedly. That's not on my list of things that I would like to do, because that can end very badly, you know. But sure enough, I mean, they get there and there he was, you know, wearing a red shirt, matched the description to a T. He's selling CDs to two ladies, you know. Officers approach him, try and get him in handcuffs, which that's, you know, in my experience, that's a normal thing to do. I mean, if somebody has a gun on them potentially, I don't want them to be able to use their hands because typically if they're going to, you know, I mean, if they're going to try and hurt you, then, you know, if they have their hands free, that's what they're going to do. And, I mean, they try and get him restrained. He didn't comply with them. He fought them. At least he resisted them, you know, and then it ended up in his shooting. So I look at that and I compare that to, I don't know, somebody who, like Trayvon Martin, legitimately minding his own business, walking home, and then gets shot for what? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
The two were very different. And something that I want to emphasize, too, it's all sad still. Because people look at Alton Sterling or Martin.
Come on.
And they're like, I don't know, they don't feel any remorse at all for the families or anything. And I'm like, dude, you know, whether or not they were doing something they should or shouldn't have been doing, bad. And it's heartbreaking for the family that, you know, someone got killed. And also, I mean, people don't really think about this, but for cops that shoot people, that's, I mean, that's traumatic, man. Nobody goes out and wants to shoot somebody. I mean, I've thank God I've never shot someone, but there are three times that I can think of where I almost did. And let me tell you, like, you know, the sleep that I lost over those three incidences was tremendous. So I can't imagine what somebody who actually has to shoot someone goes through.
And the thing is, you didn't shoot somebody, right? And you had sleepless nights. Now, this person didn't just shoot somebody, they killed them. So then imagine it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing, like, oh, I shot somebody and I shot them in their arm or shot them in their leg or whatever, or just shot them, period. That is traumatic. But then to have to sleep with the fact that they killed somebody, right, and they took somebody's life, I can just assume that that's, you know, very traumatic and, you know, it'll affect them.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And because really what they say, and I've been meaning to look this up just to confirm it, but what I've been told is that someone who, at least like with law enforcement or like military, someone who takes a life, typically they'll go through the stages of grief themselves. So being in denial about what happened, being angry about what happened, just going through all those different emotions over what happened. And, like I know guys in our department or in my department who they've had to use that kind of force on someone, and I've watched their video from it. And I mean, it's just, it's incredible the different amount of emotions that they go through. Because legit, I mean, you know, if someone is working as a cop and they want to go out and shoot somebody, then I don't know how they skated past like the psych eval and all the other stuff that we have to go through to, you know, be fit to do this job, but they shouldn't be here because that's not natural and nobody wants to do that.
Right. You know, I think, what do you feel? Because I don't think I've ever asked you this, and this kind of goes into what we're talking about as well. George Zimmerman was somebody, you know, I don't know. I won't say that he, you know, didn't go through the stages of grief. I'm not saying that I believe, you know, that, you know, he wasn't affected by it. But George Zimmerman, to me, in my opinion, he just seems to be a terrible just person in general.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely. Let me make this clear. Like, I don't think George Zimmerman, and we talked about this at my parents' house, but I don't think George Zimmerman was in the right. I think he put himself in a position that wasn't good for him or Trayvon, and because of his negligence, Trayvon died. That's what I believe. And
right.
I mean, going into it, you know, because I watched the case, I watched the court trial the whole time, and basically, in my opinion, I think the prosecution failed to do their job in charging him appropriately, because they didn't. I mean, you know, I don't think George Zimmerman went out there with the intent of, oh, I'm going to kill this kid, you know. But he was trying to play cop after being told, look, you're not a cop. Don't approach him. You don't need to talk to him. And then he found himself in a position where he was getting his butt handed to him. And he was like, oh, well, shoot, I don't, you know, this is what I got to do to live, whatever. But I'm like, he put himself in that situation. And because of his, you know, stupidity, the kid died.
Exactly, man. And the reason why I even bring George Zimmerman up is just because George Zimmerman, why I believe he's an awful, I mean, awful human being, is he auctioned off his gun. I mean, the same gun that killed that killed Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, that's just,
like,
that's,
what do you feel like about that?
All right, that is just ignorant nonsense. And I'll say this too, because like I said before, if you want to go out there and kill people or whatever, then you shouldn't be a cop, and you're not fit to do this job. Well, George Zimmerman was trying to be a cop. That's what he wanted to do, but he kept getting passed up by departments. Why? Well, I think we can see why now. He's you know, nuts. He's crazy. And I think that, you know, auctioning off your gun that you used to kill a kid, I'm like, that's just super, not just insensitive, but that's, I mean, I'm like, are you a monster or something? Like, what?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just something got to be off, you know, in this guy, you know, to even, so I mean, so he's a whole different case, right? So we're not even like, because one, he's not even a police officer, right? So we got to make sure we make that known, all right? So not he even didn't have the training that you guys have. Like, he just was a wannabe cop.
Right. So he can, you know, he can go somewhere, but not, you know, he has to be here.
So then let me ask you this, and we've talked about this before too, but like, what do you feel like, is it okay to criticize police officers, right, or criticize police practices? You know, is it okay to do that? And then also, a second part question for that is, do you feel as if the people that criticize police practices, that they hate police? Because I feel like that is the connection. If you criticize police at all, it means that you immediately hate the whole police, all policemen in the world. What do you feel about all that?
No, I don't think it's wrong to criticize police. I mean, that'd be like saying it's wrong to criticize politicians. It's wrong to criticize your experience at McDonald's, you know. I mean, like, it's like criticizing anything, you know. You
right.
Do that. What I would say, in contrast to that, is if you're going to criticize, try to understand too. Because I'll just know right now, like, there's nothing that cops hate more than a cop that is awful at doing their job, whether it's they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, illegal, like, whatever that girl's name is that shot Botham Jean, bro, I don't know a cop on this planet that would defend her, at least not over in my department. From the people that I talk to, nobody's standing up like, oh, she's good to go, because no, she messed up big. And it's, you know, we could have a whole nother podcast just on that, because I got a lot to say about it. But you know, there are other things where I understand that, you know, the public doesn't really get why we do certain things, because for me, there are a lot of things we do that I didn't understand until I became a cop, you know. And I wish that there was more dialogue between people and police, just so that we could explain why we do certain things we do. Like, okay, why am I in handcuffs right now? You know, why? Like, why are y'all knocking on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning for whatever reason? Why'd you yell at me? Why do I have, you know, why are you making me leave? Like, I wish people, you know, would just have open dialogue with police, about why we do certain things. Cause I feel like that'd honestly clear up a whole lot in this country if we did.
So right, man. You, and I think, you know, going with this, you know, a little bit is, I don't know where it came from, because I think that, one, we have to be understand to criticize, but also, how can I say it? I think the Bible actually says it best, speaking the truth in love, right? And I think that comes with that empathy aspect of, like, okay, understanding that the police have a tough job, right? Even if we're going to use your analogy of criticizing, a McDonald's trend, like something happened at McDonald's. You know, because I worked with customer service, I worked in at Subway, I worked different places where I had to deal with people on a consistent basis. I kind of have a better understanding of interactions that happen. Like, okay, this person may have had a bad day. They've dealt with so many people today. Like, the lunch rush is crazy. It's easy to get mixed up on something. Like, I have a lot of empathy. So even if I may criticize, I have some empathy in it as well, even with me, criticizing. And I think what happens is the general public, they have, the ones that criticize, they're not cops. You know, sometimes they don't have family members that are cops. So when they criticize, they don't criticize from a position of love. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, okay? But there is a section of people that when they don't criticize out of a position of love or trying to, they just criticize because they're like, man, I'm just upset, I'm angry. And those are the type of people that I'm just like, guys, please, man, you don't understand, like, this is a tough job. It's harder than you think, you know what I'm saying? And I think that those type of people need to have way more empathy.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the fact that, we get angry at things that we don't understand. I mean, that's completely to do. So a way to combat that is like, hey, if you understood or at least listened and just heard. I mean, nowadays we just do a lot of talking and not enough listening. It's like if we just just try to hear where I'm coming from, then maybe it would make more sense. And vice versa, because I know as cops, we a lot of us have the type of personalities of we're not wrong, I'm not wrong, you're right, everybody else is wrong. But I know I've found myself in positions where I'm like, I'm not right, I'm wrong, I'm not in the right here. I don't, and it's okay to be wrong. It's okay. You don't always have to be right, but I think we just need to listen a whole lot more than what we're doing, because it's hurting us bad, all of us. I always try to do when I'm working, especially, because, I can only imagine how it feels like you being pulled out of your car, and you're in cuffs, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, and so, like, we've gotten calls like, if you just get a physical description of somebody, like, hey, this dude just tried to break into my house and he's wearing a black shirt and he's, this black dude wearing a black shirt. And lo and behold, you find a black dude wearing a black shirt in the neighborhood, then, yeah, you stop him and talk to him. And if it's not the guy, I can only imagine how much they're sweating, because I know I would.
Yeah.
So I try and explain, like, hey, this is why we're here, and this is why you're where you're at right now. But once you clear this up, then you're good to go. And
right.
It works out pretty well. I mean, because people just want to understand, So when you can, do it.
Exactly, man. Like, this is why this is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. I'm bring out some Bible verses here for a second. But the Word of God says something that is something Jesus mentioned to us, is that it's two verses, and it's talking about, like, loving. Basically, the Bible says when someone came to Jesus and asked him what was the greatest commandment, and he said the two commandments, I'm going to paraphrase right now, and it just talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And those were the two things that he left them with. And I think if we just live by those two models, and I think a lot of times as Christians, we try to overcomplicate Christianity. We're like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, do X, Y, and Z. And Christianity is just those two things: loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And if we all live by that motto, I mean, it would change the world if we decided to say, you know what, I'm going to love you like I love myself. I'm going to love you the way God wants me to love you. And so I think that would be so helpful for us, whether it's, police interaction with black people, black people's interaction with the police, whether it's our interaction with the people we go to church with, our interaction with our neighbors. Despite the relationship, if we all just live by those two commandments, I mean, it would really change the world.
It would. And I mean, it's always surprising because, I mean, go figure. You do what the Bible says, and guess what? Things tend to work out a lot better. I mean, you see someone the way that you want to be treated. You treat someone with love and respect, and guess what? You are given love and respect in return, generally. And even if you're not, no big deal. You walk away and you're, you know, better for it. But, I mean, just treating people the way that Christ tells us to, the way that he loves us, giving that love to other people is, I mean, tremendously important. And it's, I mean, good night. It's one of the only things as Christians that we're commanded to do. I mean, that's how other people are going to know that we are, you know, followers of Christ, is that we have love one for another.
Exactly, man, exactly. And speaking of, like, okay, well, police and police investigations, okay? All right, let's talk about a situation that bothers me and bugs me, and it is about this whole Jussie Smollett situation,
oh.
Right? Yeah, let's go ahead and let's talk on that. Do you have some thoughts on that as well, right?
Oh,
I'm assuming.
I got some thoughts. Man, let me tell you about the thoughts I have on it. Oh my goodness. All right.
You know, so all right, let's first, before we get going in our opinion, right, let's kind of walk the dog a little bit, right? Let's walk
let's
our
walk
listeners
that.
Through
let's
the situation. Right. So first, right, the first thing we heard about, and Jussie Smollett, for guys who probably don't know about the situation, you guys might have been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks. There's an actor named Jussie Smollett. He's on a Fox show called Empire. He's one of the lead actors on the show. And he puts this out that he got attacked, okay, and it went through this whole thing. It was a possible hate crime. He was letting people know that, you know, he got, you know, beat up, got a noose hung around his neck. He was saying that the people that attacked him was saying this is MAGA country, like all this other stuff happening to him, right? And when you first heard that situation, right, well, for me, I'll just tell you from mine. When I first heard the situation, I was hurt by it. I was like, wow, like, you know what I mean? Here this person is, they got attacked for not just being black, but being gay, like all this different stuff, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, thinking all this through, like, wow, this is crazy, like, this is terrible that this is going on in this country, you know, like, wow, I cannot believe this happened, right? So that was my first reaction when I heard the first initial reports. What was your kind of reaction when you heard those first initial reports?
All right, well, I first heard about it because I saw your post on it on Facebook, and so...
Right.
You know, I was like, what? And so I looked it up, and I was just like, man, what kind of evil, ignorant people do we have living in this country? I mean, come on now. Like, how? Because I'm like, you put a noose around a man's neck, you pour bleach on the man, you know.
Yeah, you pour bleach on him, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, this is, and then you got to throw, like, oh, this is MAGA country. I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm like, why are you being, like, why would people be so hateful and, you know, like, I literally all I was thinking was, well, I hope that, you know, Chicago PD finds whoever did this and, you know, brings them to justice. Like, let's go. Let's get them.
So exactly, right?
Yeah.
So this is just a normal human reaction is like, this is terrible, right? A normal human reaction, this is, I hope they catch these people, like, just to show them that, you know, America isn't like this. It's not what we stand for.
This is not, you know.
Not acceptable, right? Then some more news stuff came up where, okay, first they couldn't find any video of the attack after hundreds of hours of reviewing video. No video of the attack, but there's some individuals, right? Some, oh no, what they call them, persons of interest, right? Okay, like, wait a minute.
What, they think that they were like homeless people hanging out or something like that?
Yeah.
Pretty much what they thought it was, some homeless people out there. And, you know, at first I was like, all right, well, that's not like the most unusual thing in the world, maybe. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, because I'm like, they're investigating, and, you know, if he doesn't know who they are, then yeah, that's a lot of information to try and piece together, you know, with what little people you have. So, okay, it's taken a while, but.
Yeah, but we still had the hope, right? The hope, like, they're going to find these people. You know, even though the situation sounds a little crazy, but you know what?
Yeah.
You know, we got the hope that they're going to catch this guy, right? Or catch these people.
That's what I, and then I was like,
mm-hmm.
This is a little weird because they were like, hey, you know, because he said he was on the phone with someone
mm-hmm.
or whatever. manager or something like that when it happened.
Yep, his manager. Like, cool. Yep.
And so they're like, cool, can we see your phone? Like, that'll help us, you know, piece this together maybe. And he's like, mm-hmm. Oh.
Which homeboy like, said no.
Which I was like, well, that's, I mean, that's mm-hmm. kind of cool, because I'm like, if someone, believe you me, if someone put a noose around my neck, beat me up, threw bleach on me, I'd be giving the cops everything. I'm like, you will find this person. You told me my phone will help. Here's my phone. Here's my yeah. laptop. My watch. Here's my keys. Here's, you know, whatever you need, take it. You know, and so he, homeboy said no. So I was like, all right,
yeah.
that's weird to me.
That's weird.
Know, who knows?
But maybe that's a weird black celebrity thing, right? Like, oh, man, maybe they're just, you know, they don't want to hand their phone because they got too many famous people in their phone and they don't want other people having it. You know, so you're still trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But even if you think about this show for a second, too, that I found really kind of sketchy was when they were talking about the situation, he didn't call the police until about 30 to 40 minutes after the attack took place.
Oh, yeah. He calls the police 45 minutes after the attack.
Yeah. Come on, man. Come on. Let's be real. And then when the police go get him, he still has a noose on his neck? Come on, bro.
No, sir. Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I was like, that is theatrics, okay? Because to me, I'm like, if you put a noose around my neck, the normal thing for anybody, because that's a traumatic instance. That's trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to hang on to that trauma. So the natural instinct for people is just get me as far away from this object that's causing me trauma as possible. I'm taking it off. I'm throwing it on the ground. I'm leaving it. You know, the chances of him bringing it into his apartment, in my opinion, is kind of far-fetched. Because if these dudes are beating you, you would think, okay, if I get free, I'm running. I'm getting out of here as fast as I can.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he still has it around his neck.
Come on.
Any
black person that had a noose around them, I would have taken that off in the first 2 seconds I was away from my attackers, okay? That's one of the first things I'm going to do. I'm not going to keep this around, you know, around my neck. So we already just like, you know, reading going, okay, this stuff isn't adding up, right? Like none of this stuff is adding up. And then, this is, I don't even know if you even noticed that this happened, right? Taraji, which was one of his people that he acts with in this show called Empire, she goes ahead and during the, you know, the time of the attack, right? You know, when the news broke about it, she goes and she puts a little Instagram post and she goes and tells people, hey, you know, what happened to, you know, him is terrible. And horrible, but what you guys need to do is stream his music. And I was like, huh?
What?
Wait. We need to stream his music.
Please tell me that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. They said, go ahead and stream his music. And I'm like, wait a minute. So someone goes through a traumatic event, and the first thing you say that we need to do is stream his music?
Man, no.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
And then here's the kicker. The song, when you go to him to find a song here, the song has a rope in the song, in the cover art.
Are you for real?
I'm being dead serious. So they have some type of rope here. I'm seeing if I can try to find it here, and I probably put it on here, on there. But it had, like, a rope, and I'm sitting there going, is this really, like, Hollywood right now? Like, are they really trying to, you know, sell this out to us, you know, for us just because they want him to get some streams? Like, is this really what we're doing right now? And I'm just like, what in the world is going on, you know? And so needless to say, regardless, I have to find this a little bit later, right? But needless to say, all of this is going on, right? And so it's making people start going, huh? Like, it just because stuff isn't making sense. Like, why wouldn't you turn in your phone to the police, right? You know, to let them know about it. And then second, why would you have a noose around your neck? Why did you report it so late? So there's a lot of questions that one had, right? And then I heard that he did turn in some stuff to the police, right? Like turned in phone records, but apparently it was like a lot of like like later on. So at first he said no, and then later on he goes, okay, let me go turn some stuff in. So he turned in like phone records to the police, but what he did was he ended up like taking out some numbers that he had called that day.
Nope, he done.
Yeah, so here's but here's the crazy part. They said the police, you know, what I was reading up is they didn't tell him that they already subpoenaed his phone records. So when he gave them the phone records without those numbers, because they weren't sure which numbers to like to research to go off of, but then the ones he took out, they're like, okay, those are the numbers we're gonna go off out, you know, go look up first. I mean, that just makes sense.
Right.
So he's helping the police in their investigation. And then apparently because of that, they were able to find these two men who, you know, they found out were actors with him on this show called Empire. And apparently they're working with the police and letting them know that Jussie Smollett staged this whole thing. And the reasoning that I saw was because he didn't want to get written off of Empire, the TV show.
I read that, and I can't tell you just how infuriating that was for me. Okay, I mean, I'm like, well, we were all feeling it, because like you said, in the beginning, we were all feeling the rage and the, just like, this is ridiculous that, you know, someone would target someone because they're black and gay.
Yeah.
What, that's awful. And then putting the rope around his neck, I'm like, yeah, for black people, that, come on now, that's a huge, huge thing. And then pouring bleach on him, I mean, both of those together is just a huge offense, you know, to us. And so the fact that I'm like, man, this dude's lying about it, you know. And another thing, because I'm like, man, if he's lying about it, I'm like, bro, you are stirring a pot that does not need to be stirred. Like, why would you bring up all these emotions in everybody? Because you know everybody's going to hear about it.
Yeah.
You know? Why are you going to do that to our country, per se, when we're at a point where we need to be more unified than ever, and it's hard. We're already struggling. Why are you going to add to that? Just so that you won't get written off of a show, potentially. You know, if that's really the reason. I'm like, come on, man, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, especially like if you've ever, like for me, I mean, I've dealt with people who have been, you know, victims of crimes, because we got to get their information for reports and stuff like that. And I will say this, if somebody calls about something happening, you know, oh man, I got attacked, and it's an hour later that they called in, I automatically think that's weird. Just because the more reaction from people is to call immediately after something like that happened. And, you know, seeing the trauma that they've been through when it's legit, I mean, there are a lot of emotions that go on in there. So when you find out someone's lying about that, it's a punch right to the soul, man, honestly.
And this is the thing that makes me so upset, is because there is already a group of people in America that don't believe that hate crimes exist. There's a group of people in America that's like, oh, no, we're fine. Like, what are you guys talking about? You're not going to get attacked for being black. You're not going to be attacked for being gay, like all this different stuff. So what he's done is he's allowed black people and gay people to not be believed when something really legitimately happens.
Oh,
right?
He's the boy that cried wolf.
Exactly. And the thing is, there's real people out here that are being attacked, they're being bullied, they're being harassed, all of these things that are happening just due to the fact that, oh, you know what, oh, I'm black, or oh, I'm gay, and they're really being harassed this way. But because of this guy, a lot of times when these people come out, no one's going to believe them anymore. Like, oh, no, not going to believe you. You're probably just like Jussie Smollett, you know, lying to everybody. So I'm just like, man, are you serious right now? But unfortunately, this is what we have in America.
This is, and I wish people understood the damage that they do when stuff like this happens. I mean, now, you know, Jussie, whatever his name is, he's done this for, you know, minorities and people who are, well, for anybody, really, who can be affected by a hate crime. You see it a lot. And I hate to say it, like, whenever you come across someone who is caught lying about being sexually assaulted, you know, that has the same effect. And it's frustrating because that stuff really happens. And there are people who really are traumatized and, you know, victims of horrible things like that. And it's like, if you come forward and you lie about something that's serious, I mean, it is going to have an effect on how people view that as a whole. And it's just terrible.
And because it's such a big news story right now, like, everyone is, like, getting it. And then this is what I find so crazy, is the fact that we immediately, and this is what's so crazy about this country, and I've talked about this on another podcast episode, is this place is really like, we're Pac-Man, man. They're controlling us, controlling our emotions. They're trying to control us to think, that all this different stuff. And I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but, like, okay, immediately, Jussie Smollett said some things that were going to immediately get traction. One, as a black person, you know, you're saying that you got, you know, it's a hate crime, you know, talk about it. Okay, cool. Then you make it a double hate crime because you're talking about, you didn't just get attacked because you're black, you got attacked because you're gay. And then the third reason why this is going to go trending is because you're going to lie and say that the people that did that said MAGA country, right? And so that immediately goes against Trump. So, you know, the CNNs of the world, the MSNBC, like all these different news outlets are going to run with that because, boom, okay, this is something else that we can show that the president of the United States, his rhetoric is causing this to happen and all this other stuff that's going on. It's like now, God, like Jussie doesn't even understand that what you've done right now is made nobody believe when real situations happen. It's just so frustrating because real things are happening because of the rhetoric of Donald Trump. However, this incident, now no one's ever going to be like, oh, come on. It's going to be just like that situation that happened with Jussie Smollett. Like, I just don't believe it. Now I'm getting to the point to now I am not, if I hear something now, I'm gonna wait for every little thing comes out, because at the end of the day, these people are really trying to push your emotions for you to react quickly and then think, oh, snap, maybe I don't have all the information.
Yeah, and I mean, like, for me personally, backtracking to what we were talking to initially, that's why I'm independently going over all these shootings again, because they work the same way as far as how, when they get out, they're presented. I mean, we don't always have a ton of info when they first come out.
And
you see a lot of news sources, whatever they are, run with it one way or the other. And it's annoying both ways. I mean, I hate it when a shooting happens and you see CNN and they're like, a white officer shot another black man. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, okay, that's all they're reporting. Or you switch over to Fox and they're like, an officer was completely justified in shooting this black man. You know, it's like, dude, like, we don't know either way. So why don't we see what's coming from this so that we can go from there and make the right determination, as opposed to letting these news sources dictate how we're supposed to feel. That's pretty much how it is.
Yeah. And the crazy part about it, this is Hollywood, this is theater. I think a lot of this stuff, man, and I was talking to someone else about this the other day, is like, politics or theater, like all these different entities are just, and we shouldn't be surprised when an actor is acting, because that's what they do. Like, he literally went on Good Morning America with the crocodile tears going hard. I'm talking about, I can't believe people aren't believing me. Because even when it first came out, like, there were some people that were like, nah, bro, something ain't adding up. Like, when it first came out, there's some people that was like, I don't know about all this. Like, there's some people that came out was like, nah.
Like, when it first came out, because I heard people saying that, and once again, I was like, look, we don't know what happened. Stop jumping to a conclusion. Okay? Because, I mean, right now, he's a victim. Give him the benefit of the doubt, and if it comes out later that he is wrong, cool. We'll go for it. But, you know, I'm not, like, when it first came out, I wasn't ready to say, oh, this ain't real, because I was like, oh,
yeah,
it very well could be.
But and we if we're gonna be honest, the reason why those people immediately didn't think it was real is because he added the icing on the cake of this is MAGA country. So then all the MAGA people were like, nah, this ain't real. They just immediately disregarded it and dismissed it because of that one line, if we're
And I
gonna be
mean,
honest.
oh no, yeah, that is true, and that's another thing that gets on my nerves. I mean, I'm more conservative in my political beliefs and all that good jazz, but I'm no fool. Like, I know that, guess what? That very well could have been said, and there very well can be some idiots running around beating minorities and, homeless gay people saying MAGA country. That is very possible,
Yeah.
But once again, that's why it's like, look, let's get the facts. Let's hear what actually happened, see where the investigation goes, and hopefully they find whoever did that. And
Yeah.
vice versa, if it didn't happen, then, I'm sure Jesse's going to get in some trouble because, filing a false report on something like that.
Come
Yeah,
on.
that's bad, man.
Now, I think he's gonna have some worse issues than getting written off Empire.
Oh, he's, let me just say, he's definitely getting written off Empire, okay?
Yeah, this is definitely happening now, man. Like,
For sure, he won't go be on Empire anymore.
I'm telling you, for real, man. He worrying about the wrong stuff, but at the end of the day, man, guys, if you when you're listening to us, talk about all this, I think that what is good for all of us to think about, we may hear a news story initially, and our first reaction may be to be upset, to be mad, to be sad. But I think that, sadly, I hate to be this person, but I think that we need to first, before we, do any kind of, before we post anything, before we do anything, let's make sure we get all the facts on the situation first, make sure that everything is right, and then let's comment after everything's been said and done. Right. I think this will help us out with everything that we're going to hear because this it's too early. A lot of times when the first initial news breaks, it's just too early to really form an opinion, to say anything, about anything. You're like, whoa, wow. Like, what's, let me not first say X, Y, and Z. I think we need to wait, pause, just wait to see what happens. And then after we wait and see what happens, then form our opinion, then say it because, this happened on January 29th, when our first reports initially happened. Right now we're at February 17th, and a lot more news has come out. All right, like a lot more things. We know more information now, and that's the way the same the way now you're looking back at these cases. At first, okay, what was the media telling me, and then what does the police report actually says? Right, like what are these things? Because at the end of the, like, if we're going to be honest, whenever we hear something about a police shooting, who, and it's sad, but sometimes based upon our political affiliation, we believe one side over the other each
Oh
time,
yeah,
right?
we do. And perfect scenario for that, in my opinion, was when Botham Jean got shot, because there were a lot of people, just conservative people, not necessarily cops, because I'm telling you, like, all the cops I know were like, nah, that's stupid. She's something, basically, because I think there's way more to it than what she's saying, okay?
Yeah.
There were a lot of conservative people who were like, oh, well, surely she's innocent. And then, at the same time, I'm like, how can you say that? You don't know what happened. And on top of that, it just sounds shady as all get out,
Yeah.
from the tongue. But, yeah, like, oh, it's sad that so many police shootings, just result in the country arguing with each other over stuff that we don't even really know just yet.
Yeah. We don't know the situation. Like we don't really know what exactly happened. And which is so funny because that whole situation happened in Dallas and well, anyways, we don't need to get in that. But anyway, sorry. I have to remember we're on a podcast. We're not just talking on phone. Anyway, so
No, absolutely not.
but that's funny. But anyway, so but speaking in that situation, it's like you can't form an opinion either way. Let's get a get all the facts and then let's form our opinion on it, right?
Oh yeah,
And then
yeah. Because I mean, like, you can, I think, like, you can hear something, and obviously you're gonna make an opinion based on what you hear right off the bat. Like, you're gonna have it, but I think voicing that as if it's fact is something that we need to be careful of. And I mean, hey, there's a verse for that, you know. Let's see, Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly and a shame of him, you know.
Mm.
And we get such a habit of doing that, just spouting something off like it's gospel truth without even knowing what is happening, like what's behind it. I mean, you know, and I think that's why we're so divided. And, you know, just a lot of that happens in the church. A lot of it happens everywhere else, especially when you throw political affiliations in the mix. Mm. Yeah, it gets on my nerves how people, you know, just because something has red on it or they're Republican, whatever they say is gospel truth, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, just not. That is not the case at all.
You know, and the thing is, what's so crazy is that if we're going to look at, and the reason why I'm even bringing this up is just to show how ridiculous this is, but if we look at politics as if they're like a team, right? Let's say it's the Dallas Cowboys is the, you know, Republicans, and let's say the Cleveland Browns are the Democrats, right? And I know someone's going to be like, why did you do that, Shelton? I don't know. The first two teams that came in my head. All right. So let's say that, right? And for what a lot of people, what they do is they ride with their team no matter what, right? And I feel like politics should be completely different, because sometimes your party doesn't do something right all the time, okay? Sometimes you got to sit back and evaluate, saying, okay, hold up. This might not be the time to like go all in on, you know, on with this party right now, because I don't really agree with this, you know, line of thinking. And I think sometimes we need to step back and actually do that before we even make, you know, any kind of decision. And say, especially say stuff, because I think a lot of times we, you know, we definitely talk more than we even listen. And I think, and you mentioned a verse, I'm gonna use another verse here too. James 1:19. Ooh, everyone does. We all struggle with this one. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Oh my soul! Oh my soul! Oh
yeah,
my soul.
We do this. Oh my goodness, we do the opposite on all three of those.
You know what I mean? Like it says, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So what we should be running to is like, let's run to listen. Let's run to understand, but let's be slow to speak and let's be slow to wrath. And a lot of times we don't do any, we're not listening. We just immediately go to, we go to our anger first. We go to speaking first. Like, oh, we're going to speak out of anger. Like, dot, 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 dot. This is where we're coming from. So I just feel like if we get to that point where we actually just be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then the Bible verse that you mentioned too, before you speak on a manner, you know, understand and know what you're talking about, know what's happening first, have all the facts, then go ahead and talk. I think that will help us out in our daily walk with God, man. I think that there has to be some lessons to be learned when we hear about situations like that. And I think that those lessons are so key in this situation.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, too, if we forget all else, I think, like you said initially, I mean, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
If at the end of the day, even if we can't understand where someone else is coming from, or we feel, you know, angry because of a situation, whatever the case is, just remembering, hey, I need to be displaying the love of Christ to people. Hey, I need to love my neighbor like myself, and that my neighbor is everybody. So if we do those two things, even, I think we'd be good.
So good, man. That's so good. And another reason why, okay, we talked, you know, about that police stuff, and I'm glad that we were able to talk about that, especially Jesse Smollett, like just talk about his situation and all that. But I really want to ask you a question, because I know that you've been listening to some episodes to the podcast, and you have been hearing, you know, people on the podcast share about why they left the church and their reasoning behind it, about why they decided to do that. But let me ask you this question, okay? And I think that you probably have some thoughts on it as well, and I think that there's many different reasons. But what are some reasons, in your opinion, why there's so many young people that are leaving the church, right? Why is, you know, that happening? What's some of your thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's really just being tired has a whole lot to do with it. Because, I mean, like you and I mean, you know, I've gone to church from the womb, you know, like a lot of the people on the podcast. And, you know, we grew up independent fundamental Baptist. And if you think about it, like if you grow up in those circles, there's a whole lot that you're putting in. You know, I mean, you're involved in a lot of things. You're going through your checklist, you know, okay, my sister's wearing a skirt, I have my shirt tucked in, I'm not going to the movies, I'm doing da-da-da-da-da. And that takes a lot of effort that you're putting into it. And you're doing all that to have a good relationship with God. I'm not listening to Christian contemporary music because that's sinful. I'm only listening to the world's music and, you know, the Rejoice radio or whatever. Like, that's all I listen to. And then when you become an adult, like our generation has, and you find out that, man, I've been lied to about a bunch of things.
Yeah.
The thought of, because, I mean, normally, at least for me, you know, I would think, all right, well, find a place that's, you know, teaching the truth, find a place that's not super legalistic like we've been brought up to think, you know, don't give up on church entirely. But then, you know, if you think about it, man, it's going to take some effort, like a whole lot of effort to go to another place, to get involved again, and to go through church all over again. And then the questions of, you know, I spent the last 20-something years of my life over here, figured out I was lied to. What happens if I spend another 20-something years over here in a place that I think is better, and it turns out that I'm getting lied to again? Like, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it might have to do with people just being tired and just not, I don't know, not wanting to put themselves through a bad church experience all over again.
I think what you just mentioned is why so many people, you know, love the fact that they so many people want to be single than actually be in a relationship. You know, you've been hurt, you know, sometimes when you get hurt by girls, you know, one in, you know, after another, I understand why guys all upset, you know, upset with women saying, I'd rather be single, do this single thing right now than to be locked down in a relationship because, you know, women hurt me. Or even the other way around. Like, I've seen a lot of women, they're like, oh, Galentine's, okay, forget Valentine's. Right. I don't need a man, you know, because they've been hurt by men. So they go through a period of singleness because they've been hurt, right, by a man. I think that is just, you know, a defense mechanism that I think all of us, you know, we've dealt with before. Like, man, because we got hurt because of this, we don't want to be hurt again. And so because of that, we've gone away. And I think that what you just mentioned is probably a huge reason about why that is, because once you've invested so much of time, like just like you said, years, right? Let's say 20-some years you were in a church, invested in the church, and then that church hurt you. You know, that church lied to you, you know, like, and it makes sense, you know, why some people, I talked with somebody recently and, you know, they got, you know, divorced and all this other stuff. And, you know, sometimes they're a little jaded when it comes to the concept of marriage in general. And I get it and I understand it. And I think that's kind of what you're mentioning is these people just been hurt by the church, you know, over, you know, these years. And it's just tough for them to come back to the point of saying, can I trust another church again? Right.
Right. Right, and I think, because, I mean, that's a complete, to me, like, it's an understandable reason to be like, man, I don't know that I want to do church anymore. Like, I get it, but at the same time, you know, just something to caveat is we're not supposed to put our trust in men.
Right.
We're supposed to put our trust in our faith in God, and I feel like, if we don't remember that, and if we don't hold on to that, then it makes it way easier to just cut church and Christianity really altogether. Because, you know, yeah, we're even though there are good churches out there, we're all human beings, so we're all going to do something that's not right, you know, or we're all going to hurt somebody else. You know, we're not perfect, but remembering that, hey, I don't go to church because of the pastor and what he says per se. Like, I go to church because it's going to help my relationship with Christ. I mean, it's all
right.
My relationship with Christ. And as long as we hang on to, why we're really here, which is for Christ, and, you know, as long as we hang on to him and keep him at the center of our relationship, our church experience, I think that would keep people in church, you know, as opposed to just cutting ties with it and, you know, just saying peace out because you hurt me.
Right, right. And let me ask you this, because I know what you mean, but I think that there are going to be some people that's going to be like, well, then should someone ever leave the church, right, or leave their church? Is there, you know, should they be stuck in a situation or stuck at a church where they're not growing, or stuck in a church where they have been lied to, or even some people may come and ask you like, well, does that mean that my church doesn't have to answer for their lies? You know, does that mean I still have to stay here? So what would you say to those kind of people that would have that to say to you?
No, I'd say, you know, of course there's reason to leave a church, you know, if you're not growing and you're trying everything, you know, and you're, because, I mean, when people seek truth, the Lord will lead you to truth. You know what I
mean?
He's not going to leave you there high and dry guessing for the fun of it, you know. So I feel like if you're in a place where you're like, man, I'm not growing spiritually, the church doesn't seem like it's growing, the church seems like it's dying, actually, something just doesn't seem right here, yeah, it's okay to leave. It's okay to question. You know, and I think that's a sign of, okay, maybe I shouldn't be in this church. If you question what's going on and people look at you like, oh, well, don't question our authority, we are the church, then it's like, okay, like, nah, y'all, because it's like, you're not God, sorry, you know, you're a jerk, you know, but you're not perfect, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, if there's a reason like that to leave, then by all means, you know, find a place where you can grow and whatnot. But a big part of that is obviously our personal relationship. Like if you're in a good church and, you know, you're not doing anything to grow yourself, you're not doing anything to get closer to God, and you feel out of place at your church, like, oh, well, you know, I don't like this church for whatever reason, but you're not trying, you know, to have a relationship with God, then that's something where, you know, reevaluate it. Maybe it's not your church, but church ain't perfect, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my dad always said this, don't try to find the perfect church, because if you try to find it, don't join it, because you'll mess it up, right? So, you know, I think a lot of times that we've got to understand, one, no church is perfect, right? None.
Right.
No church you go to is perfect. But I think you got to get to an understanding, and this is going to sound sad, because no church is perfect, you're not going to find a church that you're going to agree with 100%. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen to where you're going to find a church to where no one's ever going to hurt you. No one in that church ever is going to say anything wrong. Like, it's going to happen. Like, people are going, because we're human beings and we're flawed individuals, and it's going to happen. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing, sadly, right? Like, it's not something we're not saying that, oh, yeah, someone's going to hurt you, so it's okay. But it's not okay that they're doing that. But at the same time, you just got to have the understanding that it's going to happen, right? So despite that, well, then let me ask you this other thing. Let me ask you something here, and I think this you could be really helpful in this discussion as well. What do you say to the person that says, well, you know what, I don't want to ever go to church anymore? You know, I'm going to read my Bible in my own, like in my home. I'll sing my Christian songs in my home. I'm not going to ever walk the door to a church again. What would you say to encourage that person to say, hey, you know, it's to try church again? Like, what would you say to that individual?
Well, personally, I'd just probably invite them to church. Hey, my church, you'll like my church, you know. But, and the, you know, that can be kind of tough, you know. I would try and see where they're coming from, and just try and understand, you know, what has hurt you in the church, or who has hurt you in the church. And then, you know, if someone's trying to, like I said, if someone's trying to get stronger in their relationship with Christ, then I believe that he'll direct them to truth, right? So if someone really is at home, like, hey, I've been doing my Bible studies, I've been praying, I've been, I've been growing at home, then, I mean, honestly, yeah, I'd try and invite them to church, you know.
Yeah.
Just basically letting the Holy Spirit lead them. Because I think what we do a lot of times is we try and be the Holy Spirit and tell people what they should and should not do, right? Like, we're real
right.
Quick, well, you're a Christian, you should go to church, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not the Holy Spirit, you know, so me telling them, and I'm not their parents either, so me telling them, hey, you need to make sure you're going to church. I mean, you know, if you're a Christian, you know what you're supposed to be doing, so it's a matter of just following the Holy Spirit's guidance in doing that. So, I mean, really, I think the best thing to do for people in that situation is, it sounds basic, but demonstrate the love of Christ to them and invite them to church. And, you know, other ways you can demonstrate the love of Christ to them, I would invite them to come hang out with people that I go to church with, you know, and then that gives them a small taste of what the congregation could be like, you know.
Right.
Or just work your way to, hey, you know what, let's go to a couple of services, you know, no big deal, no big commitment or anything, and just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does.
Exactly, man. Man, that's so good. I think so many people, I think right now, I've talked to so many different people, is they need hope, you know, and they want to feel loved. And
right.
I think so many times that we've got to have empathy with those individuals. Like, I've been in certain church circles that when someone leaves the church, they shame them. They talk bad about them behind their back, and they say, well, if they were really, you know, with us, they would have stayed with us, but since they're gone, well, basically good riddance is that they're gone.
Yeah.
It's how, yeah, I've heard, man, you would be surprised at what I've heard, and I'm just sitting back going, wow, is this the right way to respond to that person? You don't know their situation, you don't know what happened with them individually to for them to make that particular decision, because for so many people, they don't want to leave. Like, they didn't want to leave their church. They didn't want, you know, those things to happen. But it just so happened that because of situations, they ended up leaving. And I just don't think it's always the right response to be like, well, good riddance, bye, forget it. Yo, go ahead and leave, whatever. That's not a good response. And I think that we need to be Christians that are going to act Christ-like. You know, that's just the easiest way to say that. Like, why can't we just be Christians that's going to be Christ-like, that's going to love on people and show them God's love? And I feel bad for people that don't show the love of God to people, man. It really just bothers me when they don't show that love.
We're really good at being like Pharisees instead of being like Jesus.
Mm.
I mean,
that's the truth.
That is what we're good at. We are so good at looking at how people look, just going through that checklist, like, hey, are you coming to church on Sunday? Are you a member of that church? You know, are you going to be there on Super Bowl Sunday? Do you dress the right way?
You
know, whatever the case is. I mean, we're really good at that. And when in actuality, what people need is, like you said, love, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's all they need is that love, man. That's it. And so, guys, if you guys are listening right now, and I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk with God, I don't know if you are someone that is, you know, your foot is right outside the door. Like, time, like, you are like, you know what, if they say one more thing, I'm out of here. I don't know if that's you. I don't know if you are already out of the church, or maybe you're still inside the church right now wrestling with some churches. I understand that church hurt happens, and what they did to you, you know, it's in the situation, probably wasn't right. You know, whatever they did to you or they said to you or whatever they did to hurt you, it is not right. And I'm not condoning that. But one thing I want us to always remember is that our relationship with God is built on our relationship with God. It's not built on our relationship with our individual church or our individual person or our pastor. Sometimes our pastors are going to say things that we're not going to like, unfortunately. Sometimes people are going to hurt us. But we have to remember the main thing is our relationship with God. And one thing I know about God is He will never leave us nor forsake us. One thing I know about God is that He will be the one that's going to be with us, and he's not going to be the one that's going to hurt us. People are, unfortunately. And so just build that relationship with God. Keep growing. And if you're looking for a church, man, God will locate you to a church that's going to not be perfect. I'm just going to let you know that. Then whatever church God's going to lead you to is not going to be perfect, but it's going to be good for your soul. And I'm going to be praying for, you know, and I've got messages from people all the way around. I'll be praying for you guys that are looking for churches. And for those that are inside a church right now, man, you guys are fighting, wrestling, trying to see if it's time to leave. I'm praying for you guys as well. And I'm really hoping that God will give you the peace that you can find in your church looking right now. So, but anyways, I definitely want to thank you so much, DJ, for being on the podcast. Is there anything else that you want to say to the listeners before you go?
All I'm saying is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast is the best. I listen to it all the time while I'm working. So, but yeah, just honestly stay encouraged, guys. You know, even though we're living in a crazy world, God's better and bigger than all that. So just stay encouraged and keep on trucking.
Awesome, man. Well, I definitely want to thank you guys so much for listening. And if you guys are listening to it and going, man, that Shelton guy is so weird, you're absolutely right. If you listen to this podcast, you're like, yes, he is definitely a pastor's kid with all those Bible verses, you're absolutely right as well. This is a Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thanks for listening.